Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At 1:18 on Grant and Danny, we're going to preview some of the pitching matchups as we project them for the Nats and the Cubs. 1:30, most important Redskin against the Chiefs will be who? Right now on our hotline, our pal Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports, as good a fantasy expert as there is in this country, has been joining us each week, getting you ready for the fantasy weekend ahead here on 106.7 The Fan. Andy, welcome back on Grant and Danny. Let's start with home sensation Chris Thompson coming off another banner effort against the Raiders. How sustainable is his performance as a dominant flex player or a worthwhile starting running back as a guy who doesn't even start in real football?
Right. I have to say, I think they're using him perfectly, right? He's not, you know, we don't generally see a lot of players with his dimensions, his size, right? Absolutely hold down full workloads over a full season. It's pretty rare. Yeah, almost doesn't happen. So, I think the usage for Thompson has been ideal. I think it keeps him fresh. It keeps him, you know, at basically maximum operating capacity and capable of breaking these big plays almost any game. The nice thing is, I think over time, Washington's offense is going to be really good. I think it's probably a top third of the league offense. So he's going to be a dynamic player tied to a situation like that. So I'm going to be thinking of him as a fringe top 20, top 25 running back moving forward. We just don't see a lot of players with his sort of explosive talent. And it seems like it's all come together for him this year. He's obviously a circle of trust player for Cousins. And he's just like, this is one of those great complementary backfields. Like, they have the hammer in either Kelly or Piran. And then they have just a lightning quick, explosive player in Thompson. I love his usage, and I think we're going to be flexing him all year.
And if we've got some deep benches here, a lot of leagues do, any guys that you're looking at now as must-have handcuffs, somebody that you're targeting, maybe like a Sharkhandrick West because Kansas City's running the football so well if Hunt goes down, et cetera. Any names like that jump out at you?
You know, handcuffing is something that becomes much more important as we get deeper into the season. I think, especially now, you know, we're still in the first quarter of the season. You want to have as many shares of as many good offenses as you possibly can. And I don't think that we've hit a point yet where I would just say, okay, I know my starting, you know, like, this is something that happens in December. We tend to say, okay, I know who my starting lineup is going to be in the most meaningful weeks of the season. I just want to back up those positions. But right now, we're still feeling a lot of things out. I like Kareem Hunt a ton. I don't think that Sharkhandrick West is a one-for-one replacement for Kareem Hunt, right? So I can imagine doing that if you're a Hunt owner. West is a guy who would fall into a situation where he'd be a number one running back in an Andy Reid offense, and that's generally a good thing. But I think he's probably 75% of Kareem Hunt. So if you want to do it there, I might look the other way. I would understand that, and I would certainly understand handcuffing Zeke Elliott right now, right? It's probably thought going into the season it was going to be Darren McFadden. Now it seems like, you know, the guy who's actually active on Sundays has been Alfred Morris. So I can imagine as a Zeke Elliott owner scooping up Alfred Morris, certainly.
Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports, you got to go check out his work or follow him on Twitter throughout the football season. When he's not on the air, he's providing great information at Andy Behrens. Le'Veon Bell has not been a disaster for me, but he has not been what I was hoping for when I drafted him at second overall. Is this the week he finally gets it going against Baltimore, do you think? Or is it still going to be more of the same for a guy who missed all of training camp? Because clearly he's not Le'Veon Bell of last year.
Yeah, first of all, I can tell you just from the questions that I field on Twitter, Le'Veon Bell is just a great buy low right now. Like, we can kind of understand him getting the slow start to the season after the protracted layoff. You know, didn't really have time in camp. His fitness was a question mark when he finally reported. You know, no time in preseason games. So it makes sense that he has started slow. I don't love, and like, I think this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game is going to be really fun. Obviously, the Ravens were just eviscerated in the London game, embarrassed in the London game. Coming home to host a division rival in a game that is probably going to end like 17-50 or something like that with a really ugly score and a super violent game and not a lot of points. So I don't love this setup for anyone. I wouldn't expect multiple touchdowns from Le'Veon in this one. But he's still, I think we'll find, once we get four or five games into the season, Le'Veon Bell has his legs under him, and he basically has a rhythm in that offense, and the offense is in sync with him. They start having some home games. I think you're going to love the Le'Veon Bell ownership experience. I am fielding a lot of questions that involve trade offers for Le'Veon Bell right now. So I can just tell you, the sharks are circling the Le'Veon Bell owner in most leagues, and they're trying to pry him away. If I own him, I'm not dealing now because I'd be selling low.
Andy, a little DFS action. Let's do that. Last week I had a Carolina stack. That went great. Again, with the greatest matchup possible. Just let me down. That didn't work real well. But give me some guys you're especially targeting this week, maybe good affordable plays.
Yeah, so this is a good question. I'll bring up my lineups and tell you the guys that I'm playing in basically all of them. The Carolina situation deserves a separate discussion, right? And I will say that one guy is an interesting flyer in Carolina right now. And they, like, again, second week in a row, you'd have to tie yourself to Cam Newton, who looked terrible last week. Second week in a row that they have a wonderful matchup, though, because New England's defense hasn't stopped anyone, hasn't stopped a thing. It's early, obviously, but they're on pace to be historically bad. Curtis Samuel has looked really good on very limited touches. And now that we think Benjamin is going to be out, we know that Greg Olsen is out. You know, the hot ad in fantasy circles, or one of them this week, was Devin Funchess, but he's proven again and again he's not a particularly skilled receiver. Curtis Samuel is a really dynamic player. He's kind of one of those Chris Thompson type players, a little bit undersized, very fast, very shifty. I think he's going to end up a focal point of that offense. He's dirt cheap on every DFS platform, and I think can probably pay dividends if you're the sort of like daily fantasy player who always, you know, who always goes cheap at one spot. One spot is always like a $10 spot in the odds game, something like that. Tight end that I really like this week, Jared Cook. He was, you know, he hit pay dirt last week in a matchup that we knew was going to be friendly. He gets the Denver Broncos this week, and of course we think of Denver as this, you know, unbeatable defense, very difficult matchup, and it is. But, you know, because quarterbacks can't really throw to their wideouts, they can't really throw to the perimeter against the no-fly zone, tight ends have been having days against the Denver Broncos, and Jared Cook is, again, set up for a big day. I'll also say that on most fantasy platforms, the prices haven't caught up with the role that Chris Carson has. Like, he's $19 in Yahoo's game, and the prices have not caught up with the role that Joe Mixon has. He's facing Cleveland. He's $17 in Yahoo Daily. Mixon looks like he's going to have 70%, 65% of that workload moving forward. That was one of the big changes for Cincinnati's offense. So I like both of those guys this week.
I love Mixon as well. A couple guys that I want to hit on that I've gotten several people tweet me about today. One is Sammy Watkins coming off the big game for the Rams. Of course, got concussed or at least into the protocol at the end of that game. Do you think he came over so late, that's what he's capable of week in and week out, or is he still kind of a fringe startable type player? And then also Tarik Cohen, non-PPR leagues, how much value does he have right now? So those two guys.
Oh, these are two really good questions. I do think of Sammy Watkins as a high variance player for a couple of reasons. One, he's one of the game's best vertical threats, and those guys are always a little bit hit and miss, right? He had a very favorable matchup last week. By the way, who on earth thought that a Thursday night game between the Rams and Niners was going to be the year in the NFL? But that was awesome. What a fun game. The problem for the Rams is they just have an awful slate of defenses coming up. Like, you know, high-quality defenses coming up on the schedule. It starts a little bit – it's not bad. It's not bad this week against Dallas. But then after that, they got to face Jacksonville. They've got Seattle coming up. So it gets really rough in a hurry for the Rams. I do think part of the slow start for Sammy Watkins was simply the fact that he's joining a team very late in the, you know, preseason entirely over, camp entirely over. He misses the full offseason program. That's always bad. Guys who get traded in season in the NFL, skilled players, it almost never works out. And you know, a trade this close to the start of the season is very difficult. But Sammy's really good, and he happened to have a couple of matchups against upper tier corners early in the season. When he finally didn't have that against the Niners, he was fantastic. And I think he's going to be a really fun own basically for the balance of the season, but you're going to have to, you know, every time he faces somebody like, you know, they're going to get Jacksonville, he's going to face Jalen Ramsey, they're going to get Seattle, he's going to see a lot of Richard Sherman. Those matchups, you'll probably sit him, but you'll certainly be playing him more often than not. And then Tarik Cohen, super fun player, a guy that I'm going to be totally wrong about. I thought he was going to have a minimal role because you know, we just don't see many players this size have meaningful roles in the NFL. He's like 5'7", 5'8", 170, 180 pounds. He's not a big person, right? Like, that's not built for the NFL. But, man, that guy's like he's like the tiny dog who thinks of himself as a Rottweiler, right? Like, he doesn't play to his size. However, he's not going to be their guy in goal-to-go situations. That's clearly going to be Jordan Howard. So he takes a big hit. You have to think of him kind of like you would Darren Sproles, a healthy Darren Sproles, where super valuable in PPR leagues. You know, he's basically getting 8 catches a week. But he's a guy who's not going to have much of a role at all inside the 10.
Andy, only about a minute left here. When is it okay to cut your losses and say you were wrong about a quarterback? I got a couple leagues where I've got Jameis Winston. Hasn't gone well. A couple leagues where I've got Tom Brady. It's going great. Give me kind of the how many weeks do you just kind of give a guy in terms of rope?
It's more difficult with Jameis because I still expect him to have a really good season. There's no injury there. He has a great receiving core. No quarterback was as helped in the offseason as he was, right? Like, they had D-Jax. They make a bunch of fun additions on offense. The question with Jameis is whether he's going to end up being a guy that we have to platoon, right? Like, he's not an every week, any matchup quarterback. I'm certainly beginning to think that he's not that. So that's a situation where maybe I add a Deshaun Watson, maybe I add a Carson Palmer, somebody that I can platoon with him. And so I don't have to rely on Jameis every week the way I would somebody like Rodgers, Breeze, Brady. And then Cam Newton is the other name that I'd be pretty close to cutting in a one quarterback league because physically he just does not look right.
Andy Behrens, our favorite fantasy expert. You can hear him at 1 o'clock throughout the season, hopefully several more times with us right here on Grant and Danny. Really appreciate it, and we'll send people to Yahoo Sports to get some intel.
Thanks, Andy.
Hey, love joining you guys. Thanks.
Much appreciated. He is outstanding. I like that you got some DFS stuff in there as well.
I always try to sneak it because people are playing it these days.
You, Tommy, Darg, making some cash. I'm doing a lot of not making some cash. Everyone's enjoying themselves.
Different activities for different people.
Grant and Danny on the Fin. What is the pitching matchup that worries you the most when you look at the Nats and the Cubs in the division series? Which are you most confident in? We'll break those down next. We'll get into the Redskins and the Chiefs at 1:30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.